Well, my friends, this morning we will be able to hear from that little letter of 1 Peter for our 29th and final time. Now, some of you, if not all of you, are aware that we'll be jumping into the parables of Jesus. We're going to be looking at the stories of the kingdom as told by the returning king. That's what we're going to do next for our Advent series. And then after that, that's going to take us into January. And in January, that's when we are going to jump into the book of Deuteronomy. Now, the book of Deuteronomy is going to be the special time of looking back at God's promises and moving forward in God's promises. But if you've done any sort of math in your mind already, you may know that 1 Peter is about 2,495 words in English. So about 2,500 words. Deuteronomy is about 25,000 words in English. And so I don't want you guys to start doing mental math and be like, well, if it took 29 sermons to get through 2,500 words, then that means Deuteronomy should be about 290 sermons to get through. Don't worry, I will not do that to you guys. I don't want you to lose your breath over that. It's not going to take 290 sermons to get through Deuteronomy. I truly don't see it going beyond 285. So we should be totally good. Like, I will not make you sit in there the entire time for that. But hopefully, you see, though, that we will go through books of the Bible. We will always preach through whole books of the Bible in this congregation because we need to hear from the whole counsel of God. And we do that in this church by starting with the beginning of a book, and we're going to go through the entire book, and we're going to march through that book thought by thought by thought in order to explore and hear what the Lord has to say to his church. Now, when we open the scriptures, here's what's happening. We trust and believe that God is actually speaking to his people through his word that he's recorded for us on ink and paper that has been passed down. We trust that through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, that God has revealed to us who he is and who we are. By hearing his word every single week, both privately and publicly, we are able to mature in trusting that plan of redemption. We are able to grow in our own personal holiness, and we are able to be equipped to share some really good news with people that need to hear some really good news. Now, the reason we preach through whole books of the Bible is so that you, as a congregation, you won't be fed by my personal hobby horses. If we had it my way, we would probably just stick in Proverbs forever and then we wouldn't move on from there. But truly, the reason that we go through whole books is so that you're not stuck by my whims, and we don't plan on what to preach based on what's happening in the culture around us. That's not how we're coming up with these words, but rather it's the Lord himself who is dictating and telling us what we will learn as a congregation based on his word and not on any external circumstance. Just so you know, the way that we're doing this type of preaching, this is not something that I made up or Rusty made up or the Reformation guys that they made up. This is actually a picture of what has been seen in the scriptures from the very first days of God speaking to his people. In Nehemiah chapter 8, you see in this chapter of Nehemiah chapter 8 that Ezra the scribe, he stands up. And you'll never guess what they build. They build a nice wooden platform for him to stand on. And then as he stands there in Nehemiah chapter 8, Ezra reads the entire book of the law to people. He reads Genesis through Deuteronomy, and he reads it out loud to the congregation that's standing there listening to this. And they understand that they want to know what God's word is saying, what it means. And so what would happen is they would have these elders that were gifted in teaching. What they would do is they would hear the word being spoken, and then they would walk into the congregation and they would make sense of what Ezra was speaking. And so they would actually preach what Ezra was speaking about God's word in order to give a meaning to the people so that God's people can hear God's word and then conform their lives to what God has called them to. That's exactly what we do every single week, week in and week out, we will sit under God's word as it nourishes our souls. We will sit under God's word as it strengthens our faith, as it calls us to repentance, as it equips us to walk in the mission and the plan that God has for our lives. There is something very special about being able to sit under God's word and then have it broken down into bite-sized pieces that are actually understandable and see how this ancient text is applicable for my life. It is a good thing. We've done that 28 times now for the book of 1 Peter. But there's another grace that comes to us as well. And that is what I want to encourage us in, especially this morning, that we also ought to hear large portions of God's word read to us. It's not just about breaking it down into little bite-sized pieces, into these little tiny, itty-bitty, detailed nuances that the Bible teaches. That's good that we do that. It's good that we break it apart, but there is a gift that comes from hearing the whole letter read to the congregation. And it's this beautiful thing that we get to do because it's as if you can get stuck looking at a single leaf, but you miss all of the fall colors around you if you only focus on one tiny passage of the Bible. And so this morning, we are going to do just that. Now, it may seem a little bit unorthodox, and this may, you've never maybe have experienced this before, but I want you to remember that this letter was delivered to actual real people of 1 Peter. 1 Peter's letter was delivered to the saints at Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and does anybody know the last one? Bithynia. I figured by now you guys should know the list. In Bithynia, they received this letter of Peter's. These Christians, these 2,000 years ago, they are just like you. They are. They wore tunics, yes, and you wear Nikes, sure. But they were living in a day where they were trying to figure out what to do with their kids. They were worried about mortgages and schooling and their jobs. And they had to experience the craziness of the world that was around them in these regions. Some of them were struggling and they were becoming weary of their faith. They would actually start questioning the Christian life and they were wondering, is this sacrifice of living as a Christian in this culture, is it worth it? Is that worth it to me? Many of them wanted to become more bold in the face of these difficult cultural moments. These people sought to be holy as they were struggling against sin themselves. And it was their desire as a church to grow more deeply and to grow more in love with Jesus Christ. And that the fruit of their affection with Jesus would pour out into the congregation and that it would expand into their neighborhoods and their schools and their jobs around them. You see, these saints that got this letter originally 2,000 years ago are just like us. And so imagine this. Imagine they have all these struggles and all these pressures and all these anxieties of life that we share. But then they get to hear that Peter wrote them a letter. Peter, the apostle Peter himself, knew of the churches in these regions and he wrote them a letter. And that Silvanus, that famous preacher, was going to come bring that letter to them and explain the words to Peter. Or explain the words to the churches. They would be absolutely thrilled because they didn't have this leather-bound, great typeset book in front of them. They didn't have 1 Peter. They needed the apostle to speak directly to them as a church in order to sustain them and strengthen them. What would happen is this letter came from Peter and Silvanus delivered it. And then somebody in the congregation would take that original letter and they would borrow it for a moment. They would copy it down word by word, verse by verse, letter by letter. They would make a copy of it. And then that church got to keep Peter's letter. And then they got to read it and then understand it. And then the original letter would be passed off to the next church. And that's why we have so many thousands of manuscripts of the apostles' writings. So friends, this morning, I'm going to read you all of 1 Peter. It sounds strange, but I'm going to read the entire book of 1 Peter to you as it was originally presented to the church so many years ago. Because in that, they got to receive this large chunk, this beautiful grace that God gave to them. And so under these past 28 weeks, or actually more than that, because we've had a couple one-offs and things, I have diligently sought to preach to you and make known the sense of this book of 1 Peter in 28 different little sections. And the session, the elders of this church, they have been looking over my shoulder and making sure that what I am preaching and what I am teaching is in accord with what we believe as a church. And so now, beloved, I want to tell you that as I read this, it's going to be strange somewhat. You're going to feel this obligation to retain a lot of these things that I'm saying, but I want to give you the freedom this morning to know that the Holy Spirit will not allow you to remember everything that I say, but as we read this letter, as I read this letter to you, as it was delivered once to the saints those many years ago, that the Holy Spirit will give you the food for your soul that you need today. So you won't remember everything, but you will remember something. And may that thing, that truth, that grace that you remember, let that feed your soul this week until we come back next week to keep digging into the Word. Let me pray for us, and then I'll read this letter from the Lord that was written by the Apostle Peter, that was delivered to by Silvanus to the saints at Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, and that for some odd reason, some odd way, this letter made its way from the Middle East 2,000 years ago, and now the Christians of Fairview Christian Fellowship in the mountains of Western North Carolina get to read and hear this exact same letter from the apostle. Let me pray for us, and we'll have the Lord ask his blessing over the reading of his word. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, it is through your faithful work over the centuries that you have strengthened and enabled your church to trust in the Lord Jesus alone for their salvation. Who knows, Lord, maybe even some of us in this room can trace our spiritual heritage back to these very saints that received this letter. And one day, Lord, I pray in that new heavens and new earth that we would be able to meet those people and see the lineage of our faith. And so this morning, Lord, I ask and pray boldly that as we hear the reading of your word, that you would change and transform our hearts, our families, our households, so that our Monday isn't just changed because of your grace. But Holy Spirit, let generations and nations be changed because of the work of your hands that you do by nourishing us this morning. May we seek your law more than fine silver. Father, let these words of yours be sweeter to our souls than honey from the honeycomb. I pray these things for your glory and for our good, Jesus. Amen. Beloved, I want you to hear now the word of the Lord delivered by God himself through the Apostle Peter to the saints here in this room today. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are elect exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father in the sanctification of the Spirit for obedience to Jesus Christ and for sprinkling with his blood, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed at the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, though necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours, they searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves but you in the things that have now been announced to you through those who have preached the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. These are things in which angels long to look. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, for it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. If you call on him as Father, who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in these last times for your sake. Is him who through him we are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and who gave him glory, so that your faith and your hope that they might be in God, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of a perishable seed, but of an imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. So put away all malice and all deceit and all hypocrisy and all slander and all envy. Be like newborn infants and long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, a living stone, rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For this is what it says in the scriptures. This is how it stands. Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. It is a stone of stumbling and is a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word as they were destined to do. But you, church, you are a chosen race. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You are a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you receive mercy. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles, keep it honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. Be subject, for the Lord's sake, to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. So live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the emperor. Servants, be subject to your masters with all respect, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the unjust. For this is a gracious thing when mindful of God that one endures sorrow while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if, when you sin and you're beaten for it, that you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it and you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you as an example, so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was there any deceit found in his mouth. When Christ reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were straying like sheep, but you have now returned to the shepherd and the overseer of your souls. Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives. When they see your respectful and pure conduct, do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of your hair and the putting on of gold jewelry or the clothing you wear. But let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, by submitting to their husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And you are her children if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless. For to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. For whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and let him do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Now who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? Oh, but even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you will be blessed. Have no fear, nor be troubled, but in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do this with gentleness and do this with respect, having good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who do revile your good behavior in Christ, they may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. For Christ, he also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit, in which he went and he proclaimed to the spirits in prison, because they formerly did not obey when God's patience waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is eight persons, were brought safely through the water. Do you guys remember those sermons? That was a tough one. Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with the angels, authorities, and powers having been subjected to him. Since, therefore, Christ, he suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same way of thinking, for whoever has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live for the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for human passions, but for the will of God. For the time that is past suffices for doing what the Gentiles want to do, living in sensuality and passions and drunkenness and orgies and drinking parties and lawless idolatry. With respect to this, they are surprised when you do not join them in the same flood of debauchery, but rather they malign you. But they will give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this is why the gospel was preached, even to those who are dead, that though judged in the flesh the way people are, they might live in the Spirit the way God does. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Now, above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling, as each has received a gift. Use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks is one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves is one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Beloved, do not be surprised when fiery trials come upon you to test you as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory in God, it rests upon you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or an evildoer or as a meddler. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. For it is time for judgment to begin with the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome of those who do not know the gospel of God? And if the righteous is scarcely saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. Now that's the end of chapter 4, and we're going to do chapter 5. Chapter 5 is the last chapter in this book. And I want to just remind you once again, as we've been hearing these things, you won't be able to retain everything, but I pray the Holy Spirit gives you something to sink your teeth into this morning, that through the reading of this giant letter, that you, the church, will be blessed at God's word being poured over you. So here now, chapter 5 of 1 Peter, as we close this sermon series out. So I exhort the elders among you, as a fellow elder and a witness to the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all of your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. For your adversary, the devil, he prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by the brotherhood throughout the world. And if you've suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you into his eternal glory in Christ, he himself will restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. By Silvanus, a faithful brother as I regard him, I have written briefly to you, exhorting and declaring that this is the true grace of God. Stand firm in it. She who is at Babylon, who is likewise chosen, she sends you greetings, and so does Mark, my son. Greet one another with the kiss of love. Peace to all who are in Christ. My friends, this is the word of the Lord that has been handed down from generation to generation to generation of Christians. Jesus has used these very words to strengthen and encourage the saints throughout the entire world, throughout the last 2,000 years. He's used these words to call us into deeper holiness. And ultimately, he's used these words to remind us of the grace that we have been given according to the Father's plan of redemption. He has used these words, the Holy Spirit has taken these words and applied them to our lives and our hearts. And all of this is possible because of the Son's love and his sacrifice and his resurrection and his ascension that has been given to you, his church. May these words be a light unto your path. May these words never depart from your lips. May these words always be on your mind as you are at work, or when you lay in your beds, or when you mow your yards, or you prepare dinner, or you raise your children or your grandchildren. May these words nourish your soul and be a guide to you, especially when the days feel dark. And may these words of God be the foundation on which you build your life and even prepare to go see Jesus face to face, either with his return or with your death. Beloved, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Jesus, I thank you that you have preserved these 2,495 words. Lord, how many times have we just read through these things quickly, or we've read through them so slowly that we miss the big picture, that you have suffered in the flesh on our behalf, that in our suffering we may be restored to completeness and wholeness, that though we suffer today, that is not the end of our story. Lord, though we struggle in our sin as a church, we will be restored to full holiness and we get to walk into that truth. And so, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would bless your church with the reading of your word. May she be washed and cleansed. May she be nourished and prepared for the mission that you've called her to. Lord, may your sacrifice be the foundation of our life, that through your death, Jesus, we die to sin, and in your life, we live to righteousness, all for your glory and for our good. We pray these things in your name. Amen.